Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome one and all. My name is Nick Roud and you're listening to the Nick Roud Podcast. Today I introduce a special guest to the show, and what a guest to throw light onto a specific topic. I really struggled last night to sleep, as I know that bringing this topic to life, putting it out there, could cause a whole heap of pain. But my hope is it will be extremely useful for everyone listening. A big welcome to each and every one of you who have made the genuine decision to turn the spotlight on yourself in the quest of improving. Thanks for tuning in. It means a great deal to myself. To those brand new to the show, a little bit about me. I'm a career coach based in New Zealand and work specifically with individuals, groups and organisations that want to improve. I've been helping people since 2006 and continue to find lasting results with my clients. My purpose for these free podcasts is simple: to uncover thoughts, to discover the why, and ultimately dig deeper than anyone else has ever done in the pursuit of helping us all to improve. Our podcasts will always be conversations, not interviews. Conversations with some of the most interesting people around, and our guest today is no exception to the rule. I understand from a number of my coaching clients that this topic is extremely hard to keep under control or even start. Today, along with my special guest, we're going to dive headfirst into the world of balance. My special guest and I may not always agree or have the same futuristic ideas, but we'll certainly bring our views, thoughts and ideas to the conversation. So kick back, relax and enjoy. Today's podcast is kindly brought to you by the team at RJB Design, a wonderful clothing shop owned by Ronald and Natasha, located in Britomart, Auckland. Their simple philosophy: suits made by individuals for individuals. They've dressed royalty, sports stars, politicians, executives and professionals from all walks of life. They'll make you feel $1 million. So let's get into it. Today I'm excited to welcome a very special guest. He's sitting very patiently next to me, and I'm thrilled to be kicking off our 2018 shows with this man. I'm going to ask him to introduce himself in a minute. Why? Well, apart from his wife Judy, I'd say he knows himself better than anyone else. Just to put some context on our relationship, last year I received an email from him through LinkedIn asking to connect. So like I do with anyone, I went back to him and said, thanks, before we connect, why don't we grab a coffee and get to know each other? We had a few coffees, and over the course of our conversations, we've discussed many things. So why did I want to get him on as a guest? Well, in no particular order, I truly appreciate his views. Nothing seems too much trouble for him. What a great example. Today he's taken time out of his day to join our community. He's a man who will have an open conversation on a variety of topics. Not many individuals have the luxury of sitting in the positions that he continues to work in. He's recognised and respected chairman here in New Zealand and overseas. A man who started his career at the coalface and shows that you can reach the summit if you choose to. A man who last year had the huge honour of being named Deloitte Top 200 Chairperson of the Year. Congratulations again to you.
Thanks.
Above all, I really do just enjoy his company. And this office that I'm sitting in today is fantastic, full of books. It's like being in a library. Quite refreshing. So without further ado, I know you know who I'm talking about, but may I take the opportunity to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners and share a little bit about your role that you play in business today.
Sure. Thanks, Nick. My name is Rob Campbell. I'm pretty much fully engaged these days as a company director. I chair Sky City Entertainment. I chair Somerset Group Holdings, which is a retirement industry business. And I chair Tourism Holdings, which is a global RV rental and operating business. I'm also on the board of Precinct Properties, and I chair Well Networks, which is the Waikato region electricity distribution network and fast fibre network. Apart from that, I give advice to a number of hedge funds and private equity funds around the world. So, I mean, I've got a luxurious position in seeing a lot of businesses as they operate, particularly in Australasia, but globally. I get a lot of data flow. I get a lot of ideas flowing. And just encourage. I love ideas. I love reading and I love hearing ideas, sharing ideas. I've learned as I got older to listen a bit more and talk a bit less.
Two ears, one mouth.
Got a little bit less certain about the validity of my own views. Not there completely. So I enjoy this sort of interchange, and it's I'm honoured to be on your podcast. Thanks.
Thank you, and welcome in. Now, you've been interviewed many times over the last many years, but got to ask, I think you mentioned it, have you ever done a podcast?
I have done two podcasts prior to this, but I'm a podcast neophyte at best.
So sorry about the technical glitch with the microphone, but hey, we live and learn, don't we?
I mean, the podcast thing is interesting. I've just started listening to podcasts in the evening, part of getting off the screen before I go to sleep, and is that I now turn on podcasts, and I've got a few that I have started to listen to regularly. I find the Economist podcasts pretty good.
Yep.
And I quite enjoy the Freakonomics podcasts. I'm an economist by background, and just slowly starting to pick up another few of private individuals that I've come across who are doing the sort of thing you're doing.
Good.
And I think as an information exchange thing, it's great. I'm still, you know, pretty wedded to the printed word. I know
Same.
Everyone says that it's all going to be video or audio going forward. I hope we don't completely lose the printed word.
I still, my wife, Nick, she sits at night and she's got a Kindle, so she'll be there with the light on and scrolling through a Kindle machine. I still prefer, like I look around your office, the book, the page turning, the turning the page and knowing where you left off last night. But I don't know if that's the same for you.
Yeah, I tried Kindle and I quite liked it, but I use the Kindle function on my laptop to review a few magazines that I follow, but I don't read books on it.
Hmm. Well, my purpose, and we'll get into it, my purpose for the podcast is it's going to be to help a community grow, help individuals improve. There'll be no cost ever associated to this, but I just think the more we can explore things with different subject matter experts or gurus or people that are far more intelligent than myself, I just think we can just share that knowledge. It's going to help everybody.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. I mean, I must say I've got an enormous amount, and we met originally through LinkedIn, and I've got no connection with LinkedIn other than participating in it. As a place to share ideas about business and life as business impacts it, I found it extremely good. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff on there. Inevitably, there's some stuff I regard as noise, and what my noise might be someone else's valuable data.
Yeah.
I don't sort of comment on that, but I do find it an incredibly good way to share ideas, and it's been valuable to me.
Brilliant. So as a respected individual, you're regularly being interviewed, be it through your thoughts around business, your views on technology, your views on governance, etc. But are you keen to get stuck into our topic today, ready to lay it all out there and see where we go?
Absolutely, if only because I'm one of the most seriously unbalanced individuals I know.
My choice of guest is spot on. Thank you for being so open on that, so we'll find out. So, as I said, we met over a coffee, and one thing that resonated with me, one thing where I wanted to carry on the conversation and build a relationship was, you said something that really stuck with me, and many things do, but this was, Nick, I love to debate, I love to meet a variety of people from different backgrounds. It's so important to me as it continues to help me. You know, that's really refreshing for anybody going into an unknown world. So look, I know this is a real personal topic to drill into, and even up to last night when I went to bed, I was saying to Nick, I said, look, I'm still not sure if I want to put this out there, but what the heck, we've got Rob with us today, so let's get into it. What can go wrong? apart from I hope it's recording. So how important is it to you to get balance right? Bearing in mind you said you don't have it.
Well, I do want to start by just reiterating that. I don't think I am very balanced, but perhaps if I just talk about that a little bit. It took me many years to realise, partly because I could extrovert myself successfully with a sober in business situations or liquored up in social situations, because I could do that successfully, took me quite a long time to realise that it was quite damaging to me as a person, because by nature I'm introverted, and I've gradually learned to come to terms with that introversion, to use it as a source of positive energy, making sure I do spend a lot of time alone with myself and yep. reading, as I do. It enables me to be more balanced in a less destructive way when I am talking about social things. I'm still bad at social situations, but in business I think I can be more effectively extroverted than I was. So that's been a learning experience for me, and one that took more decades than it should have done. However, one is where one is. So for me, and everyone else, the other thing, sorry, I want to add to that, is that everyone's balance is different.
Yeah.
I think what is balanced is not some objective situation where you have more or less time at work, or more or less focus on a business, or more or less focus on a family. I think we are individuals with different individual needs and abilities. Mm. And so, you know, for example, I derive a huge amount of my self-realization from work. Other people may derive it from sport or from their church or from social activity. For me, it's focused a lot on work. So to me, to work on every day of the week and to work on many days of the week for quite long hours doesn't mean that I'm not quite balanced, provided I'm doing the other things I need to maintain energy and to maintain positivity. I think it's fine. So, you know, I consider myself now to have a pretty balanced lifestyle, even though I work probably double the hours that many other people would do. Mind you, again, what I call work, some other people might well call pleasure. You know, I'm working when I'm reading, discussing, thinking, and it's pretty luxurious to be able to be paid for doing that.
Well, it's not a luxury. I don't call it a luxury. It's a choice. And balance, I think, 100%. This podcast, whatever we're going to discuss today, it's not going to be, hey, Rob said, Nick said, it must be the gospel. It really needs to be tailored to an individual or an individual situation. But we'll come on to some kind of thoughts that I know have helped others or are starting to help others. But it's quite nice to hear, as an introvert, you know, to put yourself in this, I call it a lovely den with all your books and a place where you can switch off from the noise. It's probably quite a refreshing place to recharge yourself, to get yourself a little bit balanced in readiness for tomorrow and whatever tomorrow may bring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all need places where we are comfortable and where we can genuinely recreate. It's easy to forget that is the basis of the term recreation.
Yeah.
It is about recreating ourselves. And we all need that space to recreate, but our spaces will all be different.
Yeah, no, exactly. Probably a bit of a personal question, but how do you take care of yourself, bearing in mind you've got pressures, you've got commitments, you've got, like any of us, bills to pay, people to meet. How do you take care of yourself, first and foremost?
Badly. Is the short answer to that. Again, I think I've improved, but there's, you know, I've in parts of my life been drinking too much. I think it's a common thing for people in business to deal with their pressures with alcohol, and I've been no exception to that. Mm. I know I've got better at that. I've been sporadic about my exercise. Again, I'm a body type and a personality type that does need exercise, but I have certainly got lazy about that from time to time. So, I mean, a chart of my weight, for example, over my working career would be characterised by extreme volatility with an upward tilt.
Balanced,
not particularly balanced. But you know, if I were talking to, as I do, informally mentor some people much younger than me, I do mentor them to learn from me as a bad example rather than a good example.
Yeah.
Plenty of ways to learn.
So what, don't preach what I say, just don't find your own way.
Don't do what I said. Look at the outcomes and work out whether this is really where you want to be.
Oh, that's refreshing. The future, you know, you say a little bit about, and many people say to me, look, Nick, I don't even know where to start, and we'll come on to that, but the future of being balanced, is that something you want to kind of explore a bit yourself, or is that, are you going to take every day as it comes, or have you got kind of a set kind of, I'd really like to understand a little bit more about that. Would it help me? Would it hinder me, do you think?
Well, Nick, I'm at an age where the scarcity of potential days it makes them more valuable.
Every day you're alive,
if I can use an economist's logic on it, so they are becoming more valuable, and I am increasingly concerned to get value out of them, not to waste them, is one of the ways that I see it. But I think about it, so partly for myself personally, yes, I explore that. In recent years, I've explored a lot more about myself by studying Buddhism. So I'm a regular student of Tibetan Buddhist philosophy, which I've found valuable in applying to myself and my own circumstances. And so that continues to be part of my life. So the spiritual side has certainly developed. I also, though, increasingly think about it in terms of the organisations that I work in and the importance you see both for executives and for every member of staff who participates of having a genuine wellness function at the core of your business. I think it's really important to how the business works, how successful it is, and how successful the people working in it are. So I'm interested in it from that point of view. Someone refers to it in an article I read recently as beyond health and safety to wellness. And I think it's a good way to think about things. I think it will make our workplaces better and our lives as a whole better. So I look at it from those two perspectives. One with my little introverted stuff, which is mainly at the intellectual, spiritual level, but looking at the organisations I'm engaged with, people do spend a lot of their lives at work. A lot of people like me self-actualise through their work. So having a well, healthy environment for that is very important, I think.
I think it all starts with yourself as well. If you're looking after yourself, then the rest follows. And sometimes we put others first. And again, part of my podcast plan is really for individuals to think about themselves first and be a little bit selfish, be a bit self-aware of what's working for you or what's not. But those that are listening, and I did some stats over the weekend. We've got listeners from the US, from Canada, from Europe, from South Africa, from the UK. Russia, I couldn't believe Russia, but there you go, from Russia, maybe they're listening in, Australia and New Zealand. You know, give yourself some credit, give yourselves time to, you know, not beat yourself up. Getting balance that is right will take time, so please don't expect it to be a snap of the fingers and it will be perfect, because it won't. So to me, it's like baking a cake. Get messy, enjoy the process, and keep practicing, because one day that cake will be perfect.
I agree with that, Nick. I think that if you are going to give and you're going to create value in your working life or in the rest of your life, you need to get that fuel and process it from somewhere. If you don't give yourself some time and ways in which to process it, we don't have this well of capability within us, which is innate, born into us, which we have to give out. We have to keep recreating it, and what you say is very important.
So I'm a bit of a guinea pig, and I love to explore, and I said to you when we first met up, I love challenging the status quo, because otherwise life does get boring. So I can tell really quickly if I'm out of whack or out of balance, as we're talking about today. And for many years, and I don't share this with many apart from these podcast listeners, but I've taken the time to write a journal every day, and I also take time to review it, not too deeply, just to skim across it, just to see where I'm at as a human. And I can see signs of when I'm starting to get out of balance, out of whack, and things change. For me, it's my sleep patterns, and that's not because I've got a two-year-old son. It's my desire, enjoyment, as you said, for exercise, that stops. My weight increases or decreases, fortunately not decreasing too much. I start juggling too many things. I'm not great at saying no to people, and I try and please people, and you know that list goes on for me myself. So I bought this journal tool into my coaching business, and clients are really starting to see a meaningful insight into them and helping them to establish a little bit more of balance for themselves. So this might help out our listeners, and again, I'm not sure if it's something you've done in your career or to date, but grabbing a small journal book from the local bookshop each day, writing three good things that have happened to you and one crap thing that's happened, and how much time you spent that day on things that make a difference to you, not your boss, not your peers, not your direct reports, not your family, just for you. Just keep it really simple to start off with. Make them bullet points. And the end of each week, as I say, grab a coffee or a tea or a peppermint tea, whatever it is your genre, or a glass of red wine, and look over it and just see what those entries are saying to you. Do no more than that. Just notice what you're reading. And over, say, a couple of months, you'll start to see patterns appear off the page. And this is where you can start to get your foundations right. You know, to see what's making you tick, what makes you feel good, what makes you feel bad. And thereby, you can just start taking a little bit more control of the things that, as I say, make you happy, make you sad, whatever. But then you can start to put the plan in place to, you know, be aware of yourself. So have you written, do you write journals? Do you keep a tally of what's going on? Or how do you kind of see that?
Nick, I haven't ever written a physical journal. My own belief is that we each of us write our journal every day. So I think the only issue is whether you choose to put it down on paper or not. And I can see that the discipline of doing that could be extremely helpful, although I haven't ever done that. I do, when I'm thinking about aspects of life, focus a lot on the fact that what I am and what I'm capable of doing right now is subject to the tracks. I call it karma, because it's the Buddhist word, is subject to the tracks that have been laid down by my earlier activities, the results of those activities, the feedback of them, and how I react to them. So I think we're all writing a journal. The only question is whether you take the discipline to write it down. And I can see that you know, for many people that would be useful, and you know, I'll take it away. Maybe I should be doing that as well.
There's never right or wrong. It's just ideas to help. And that Buddhism and those books you mentioned and stuff like that, that's a real topic that I personally want to explore. It's been put in front of me on a number of occasions, and the abstract of learning different ways or different styles, I'm sure it can only help. So I'm going to certainly get to the library and find some interesting books that can at least start to enlighten me a little bit more on different styles or different beliefs.
Well, I think, you know, there are many philosophies in the world, or religions in the world, but many of them do have within them this, when people have thought deeply about their lives, many of those philosophies, potentially all of them, I guess, have incorporated somehow the idea that what we do, what we say, and the reactions of other people to that carry through into our future actions and thoughts. So there is a process. There are different philosophies treat it different ways, but it is there. And I think one of the important things to my mind about balance is to recognize that, to be aware of that, to be not always just responsive to what is in front of you without understanding that you're bringing a set of attitudes and thoughts and history towards it. Otherwise, you know, if you're simply reactive to situations, you're at the mercy of events. And if you want to be a little bit more in control of events, or you want to influence events more, you better to be explicitly understand what your relationship with those events is.
No, spot on. And I concur when you say that. You know, you can look at so many different triggers, so many different things, so many different reasons why, but ultimately it comes back to the individual at hand and making sure they're having the control, the disciplines. You know, habits can be changed, behaviours can be changed, but you've just got to be aware of what's going on around you, I think.
And certainly the best managers, that in my experience, the best managers in businesses are people who do understand themselves and their own motivation and their own reactions, their own influence on other people better. Those who kind of don't explicitly spend some time thinking about it, I think find it very hard to be anything other than purely reactive to circumstance.
Reactive, I call it the doctors or the nurse, great bedside manners. Those that can really relate to people when they're at their worst, I think, goes a long way from a leadership, from a management point of view, whatever you want to call that.
Excellent.
So as a human, I've got triggers that I know when I'm out of whack. Is there anything that really triggers you when you get a little bit out of balance, or when you sense that things need to be looked at?
Look, there's a number. One I notice is when these are very simple things.
Normally the best.
Always a little bit embarrassing. One of the things I never noticed through my life, but increasingly I notice now, is if I'm not tasting and enjoying my food or wine, it's one of the things that I do when it means that my mind is distracted, that I'm not in the present enough to be really enjoying this thing. The pressures have got to me, and I've become disconnected. And I think we've all probably had that thing. If you've eaten a meal or you've had a glass of wine or whatever, and actually you realise, hang on, I didn't really get any pleasure out of that. And if we're not thinking about it, we don't. The two others are, again...
That's really interesting, the taste. I think that's really
hopefully
interesting.
Hopefully none of my children or Judy are listening to this, but I notice if I get irritated about something with someone I love, is the other thing I've learned to recognise as a sign, because why would I be irritated with them? This is the person I love. Why am I irritated?
Why am I pissed off with this person? Yeah, and I care so much for them.
It's normally because my mind has been carried away with something else, and all of a sudden, hang on, this person I love is intruding on me. Well, I realise that's not the way I want to be, and not the way really anyone wants to be. So those are my little triggers. Hardly ever happens, darling.
Judy, I know you're listening. I'll be home in a minute.
But those are the kind of triggers that I recognise now, and it's good to be able to do that.
I think the people you love the most are the ones you hurt the most.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what position of authority or what position in life you sit. So, look, over the course of a month, over the course of a quarter, do you see yourself... Can you look ahead into, say, where are we now? We're February the 12th. Can you look into, say, March, April? You know there might be a busy window, busy period. Have you got things that you do now to say, right, that's it, I'm going to lock myself away in my den, I'm going to do some read, I'm going to bring back some calmness? Or what do you look out for the future for yourself?
I'm trying to do that. My work programs, are fairly well defined. Obviously in business something can come up, but there's a regular pattern at board level of meetings that I can now look at that for the rest of the year, really, and say, yes, that's manageable, and I do that and continue to check in on it. Perhaps I've developed a practice which I've got a lot out of in recent years of meeting at least several people a week who I haven't met before, normally people who have a business idea or want to have some advice about a career in governance or quite often do contact me through LinkedIn or other ways. And I've got a tremendous amount personally out of that, learning about new businesses and new things, because the businesses I work in are mainly quite big. They're quite established.
Giants. Yep.
So hearing about what people are thinking about of new ideas and interacting with them is good. But the demand for that... is the thing that probably I have to cut back on most. So, for example, I look forward at my next couple of months. I have a couple of people who have approached me wanting to meet and talk about their business, and I have to say no to them simply because I can't give it the mind space. Just not practical. So that's, I guess, the one that has to flex. Otherwise, I can maintain a pretty reasonable balance of the work demands.
Mm. I was reading a book recently by a senior American, and she'd been absolutely hammered by people wanting her time, wanted some, not just advice, but just to have some face time with this lady. And I'd have to send you I've written out of the book pages of kind of responses that are very, very polite. So it's not no.
Mm.
They're very polite. They're generally... They're generally written to show that she does care, but it's just not the right time for her. And how you kind of bridge that, saying no to people, it's, you don't want to upset people. None of us want to go in through life upsetting people, but how you can manage that yourself so you're in control, it's a hard art to nail.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I never want to be rude or dismissive about that, because if someone has reached out to you for advice or for just a bit of FaceTime, think you might know something that is helpful to them, or know people that are helpful to them, obviously you want to be helpful to them. You can't always do that. I think it's probably not that different to being the manager in a business or the owner of a business, where, you know, if you don't make yourself available to staff and to customers, you know, you are underselling yourself, underselling your business, and not being fair to those people. Mm. So having, you know, in every role of life, I think making that time to meet new people particularly and hear them is really important.
Because not all what we know is right or wrong. There could be other things that you could take. Like, as you say, you could meet somebody from a smaller business or a mid-sized firm, and you could think, oh, that could really help a side of my business that's seeing something similar or facing situations like that. So
yeah, it's you know, it's amazing how much that happens. In fact, I had a cup of coffee this morning before I met with you with a woman from out of Auckland who is interested in a governance career. But she actually had some experiences in some charitable activity that she undertook, which related specifically to a couple of guys out in South Auckland that I've been talking to recently. And, you know, I'll be able to connect them later in the day, and that always feels good. So, you know, not many meetings you have with people don't have a value that flows on.
No, and nor should it, because I think there's a big saying that life's too short and we're soon gone.
Yeah, no.
Not that you're going to go anywhere soon. Okay.
Well, we hope not.
So look, mastering what works, it's worth investigating, it's worth playing around with. So keep trialing things, but don't let it rule you. Don't let it get on top of you. The world today is full of technology. It's full of noise, good or bad. People trying to grab our attention for small periods or long periods. But when it comes to juggling multiple commitments, and this is something clients of mine face, you know, family life, home chores, friendships, work commitment, also enjoyments of ourselves. What are some of the behaviours that help you juggle these?
I'm not good at maintaining friendships, I have to say. Mm. I can blame my introversion, or I can blame being busy. I can blame any number of things, but Judy and others always comment about the fact that I have an enormous number of people I know, but I have relatively few friends, in fact very few friends, and I haven't been good at maintaining friendships. Do I feel sad about that? Not really. Some I do, but otherwise it's just as part of the way that I've lived my life, and I've got sustenance in other ways, but I think that is a time-consuming thing that I personally haven't probably paid sufficient attention to. So it means that most of my relationships are potentially, you know, some people would say quite shallow ones. Always my quote back on that is Oscar Wilde saying he thought that people who didn't judge by first impressions were awfully shallow. And it's always appealed to me for obvious reasons.
Take that one and own it. But they, you know, there's so many things out there. You know, what does a relationship mean? You know, does it need to be deep? Does it need to be surfaced? You know, what is it? As long as it's important to you, as long as you're looking yourself in the mirror and feeling comfortable, I think that's really a huge lesson for any of us to kind of think about in life when dealing or treating others in a certain way.
Yeah, I think I'm not a great one for this mindfulness slogan. But I do think it is true that we have to address these things. So you need to get personal sustenance or spiritual sustenance, as just as you need physical sustenance. And if you don't explicitly think about that, how are you getting it? Are you getting enough? Are you getting the right kind? Then you almost certainly are not. Random occurrence will not produce the right outcome. Thinking about it and taking whatever view you choose to take is the key, I think.
Mm. And again, what works for somebody may not work for somebody else. But you've worked around many people throughout your career from starting to today. But have you picked up any tips that you wouldn't mind sharing? Don't mention names, we're not about that. But just anything that you picked up from others that have either been really good or really bad that may help our listeners around balancing things out.
Maybe a couple. In my early years of working, I was working in the field of trade unionism, and it was a field in which, in those days, many people today in the modern world won't really recall this, but in those days, it wasn't quite class struggle in the old terms, but nevertheless, the boss and the worker were opposites. And people were categorised very heavily and treated in that way, and it was very hard to have any reach out across the boundaries. And when you can't have reach out, the only other thing you can have is conflict. So you have conflict.
Right.
This is kind of a bit binary, that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've learned that I learned out of that it was important to progress anywhere other than be locked in static conflict. There needed to be reaching out across boundaries, and certainly people are grouped and categorised in various ways, but the essence of communication between them is key, and I think that's true ethnically and in terms of gender and any number of other ways. And the world has improved a great deal from those days, and hopefully I've learned as that's gone on. So that's been the kind of the first thing I've learned. Probably then in the business world, I've learned that one needn't be suspicious or react to individual motivation too much. Businesses have an economic logic or they don't. How we run our businesses, the interaction amongst individuals, is very important. But a business that doesn't have a sound economic base, and I would include in that today a sustainable economic base, is a business that will have negative consequences on all around it and eventually will fail.
Whatever the size.
Whatever the size. So that some of this is just purely objective, the impact of the business. Will the business work or not? And too often we don't concentrate on that. We focus a little bit on, is this a business we like or don't like? Is it a business which is currently trendy or not trendy? Does it sound good? So the fundamental economics are what matters is the next thing I've kind of learned. And then finally, in my later years in governance, I've much more learned the importance of listening rather than talking. I've spent a lot of my life talking, and listening in order to understand is, I think, a skill that I've developed only relatively late in life, and many of my colleagues may think I've still got a lot of work to do on it. But listening both outside the business and inside the business is very much more key to understanding than feeling, oh, here I am, I'm on the board, I know about X, Y, Z.
Look at me.
It's a fault, I think. I observe around board tables and I observe it in myself. And not spending enough time listening outside the business and inside the business. If I try to think of the big lessons I learned, probably if I go back earlier to my teenage years, I would say the biggest lesson I learned was pay more respect to your mother and father, because I didn't. And I'd like to get it now.
We could all put our hands up for that one. Mum, I know you're listening. Love you lots. But my grandfather was a miner, a Hungarian, came from a horrible environment during the war, went to the UK, started coal mining, and you know, that's as at the coalface as you're ever going to get. And one thing that, you know, he instilled with probably to my mother and to myself is, you know, you never judge a book by its cover. I've said it many times, but you just treat people the way you want to be treated. And fundamentally, I think that can go a long way. And if you're going to be an arsehole, then they'll probably be an arsehole back to you. But if you're going to be kind and reaching out and helping, then that's probably going to come twofold. And that's where I really want to explore in that Buddhism way of forwarding on for others. We all appreciate that individuals work best at different times of the day. You know, it could be early morning like myself, or it could be late into the evening. But it's refreshing to read and see organisations around the world, you know, look at things. How can we help our people work better? You know, should we continue to work 9 to 5, change into a 4-day week, which we've just recently been seen here in New Zealand, letting people work from home? You know, we've seen organisations use remote working, hot desking, home days, health days, etc. But I'm 100% convinced that, you know, in my lifetime, I just feel that remote working is going to really allow and enable individuals, you know, to choose where and when and how they go about their everyday business within rules or boundaries. But you've sat across, you know, you sit across many of the giants or many of the leading organisations here in New Zealand, and part of, you know, conversations. What are you trialling, or without going into too much detail, but are the things you're trialling, or are there things that you're seeing in other organisations you think, hey, we could do that a little bit better as well, or adopt that approach?
Well, there's no doubt that we could. I agree with you. I think that we are going to see much more flexible patterns of work when, how, all those things is going to come. And I think that's a good thing, because we've by and large lived with and still do with a factory view of of working time and how we work. So that is splitting up, and I think will split up more. And I think looking forward, any business has to be open to the sorts of changes that are that staff may wish to have, and that, you know, to recruit and retain staff it's going to become very important. I mean, in a number of the businesses I'm in, we still have staff turnovers, you know, as high as 25% and 30% per year. And nothing wrong with renewal, but quite a lot wrong with that much renewal.
Yeah, why?
So there's a whole lot of things we don't understand very well about that. I think HR management in New Zealand is not really very advanced. I don't think that the HR element or the general management element of New Zealand business is very strong at the promotion of alternatives. And what I try to do as a director is to support and encourage as much flexibility as we're able to in that. It's not really for the board to impose or say, hey, we've got to do this or
get
do
on
that.
Yep, yep.
But I think boards should be open to and encourage any efforts at flexibility, because it is the way of the future. When you come back in 50 years, if you're lucky enough to do that, our organisations, I don't believe, are going to be run anything like they're run now. Mm. And millennials are part of a big change in that. You know, the one we feel most at the moment, I think, in terms of millennials, isn't so much the flexibility. It's their search for a purpose in the business rather than
why am I here?
Why am I here? Yeah. What am I doing? Yeah. Do I think it's valuable more generally than earning a living? But that will morph into much more flexible working demands, whether driven by family or simply the way people want to live their individual life.
And look, we haven't even got into it, but the discussion around technology and balancing technology. Oh my lord, you know, our phones are beeping as we're sitting here, and there's email, you know, there's stuff that's just going on around us, and there's heaps of books, there's heaps of ideas around technology and the use of it. And again, it comes back to balance. It's a personal thing of how you manage your technology uses. But have you got any tips around technology? Again, have you got any kind of insights that you think, you know, it helps you manage the noise, if we want to call it?
I manage a lot of my activity online, and I've got better at it. I wish I could touch type, and I wish my fingers weren't so fat. But
could change the first.
they're not easy to deal with at my stage of life either. But Look, I don't think online availability needs to be a negative. I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, being available too much and those kind of things. I honestly don't experience that. My phone has a function on it to be silent, which is usually on for a telephone call, so I can deal with it when I'm able to deal with it. But mainly it just enables an enormous amount of better information and quicker flow of information. So I'm a big, very much in favour of adopting that online capability.
Yeah, and I've been trialling something in my business, and it's scared the bejeevers out of me, and it's an approach that I've just tried last week, but it's really given me a lot more focus on what I'm trying to do in any given minute. And no, it reads something like this, and again, feel free to use it, steal it, whatever. I think we've all done the same. But hi, due to high workload of coaching clients and preparing podcasts, I'm currently checking and responding to emails twice a day, one at 12 p.m. and one at 4:30 p.m. If you require urgent assistance that can't wait until these times, please give me a call on blah 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 blah. Really appreciate your understanding, as I'm wanting to effectively be of service to all. Sincerely, Nick. Now, that's for me as somebody who's there to service people and help people and be there for people. For me to put that out there, I was pretty worried about it. But the feedback I've got from clients is, wow, we know when to expect the expected as opposed to waiting. Do you do that on yours, or is that something you think, no?
Nick, you're a nicer person than I am. I got a bit overwhelmed by getting telephone calls from people, and so what I did, rather than put a nice message on there, was simply cut off the ability to leave messages.
turn voice message off.
I must say it did work, but it would be better to do it your way.
No, I like your approach, but each to their own again. But there's a thing on iPhones, or I don't know what the Android phones, but there's grayscale where you can just knock everything down and it just blips. I used to commute into London with a guy, and he used to sit there, an older established gentleman in his pinstripe bowler hat. He would have the Financial Times newspaper. Those that aren't aware of what that is, I'm sure you are, but it's a real good news and educational kind of paper. But within that paper, he'd have the Sun, and he'd be sitting there doing the crossword. But he found this tool that he could sit on a carriage on the train and press a button, and it would wipe everyone's phone out, and it was just fantastic. Every day he'd sit on the train, blip, all the phones go out. So I don't know if he's still around or alive, but that was hilarious for me. When I was preparing for this and for our conversation today, I asked a few clients and people, you know, what do they want to get answers on, or what do they want to find out a bit more. So I whittled those down to five, and we'll probably just do a couple of those because I know time's important to you. So a common one, Nick, I've got deadlines, I've got meetings to be at, I've got people around me that want everything now. How do I manage my day when everyone wants an answer now?
Yeah, we all have that problem from time to time, and it's an important one. My advice on this, and it's advice I try to follow, is if you're in a position like that, you have to prioritise. Mm. So do it explicitly, and let people know what you've prioritised, so that people aren't surprised if something doesn't get done, but be prepared to say, oh, look, I have prioritised doing this in this period of time. That means I won't get to that. I've found that as long as you're explicit about it, people are actually very, very fine. If I say to someone, look, I've got your message, I email them back saying, look, got the message, got the document, I won't get to this until Thursday, people, I don't get bad reactions to that. If I don't answer at all,
that's when the phone rings.
And their expectation is that it won't be Thursday, it'll be Tuesday, then people naturally feel bad about that. And it may be, you know, that in the first way you've prioritised things, there is something you've haven't taken into account. If you let people know that that's how you've prioritised it, and they say, well, hey, actually, we're going to be bankrupt by Thursday, right?
We might not be here, mate. Guess you prioritise better.
Then you would probably say, yeah, okay, well, maybe I better do that today. But
yeah, yeah.
If you don't give the feedback, if you don't let people know, then prioritising is an issue. I don't think it is otherwise.
So it comes back to communicate, be clear of what's right by you, what you're trying to achieve, and just be clear with people.
And don't make judgments by default. Make judgments explicitly.
Yep. So look, there's a couple of questions in there that I think we've covered off around technology. How do you set yourself up first around balance? I think it starts first thing in the morning. It's drinking water. It's eating the right foods. It's maybe getting a walk, getting some time with the kids. You know, just calmly get into your day. Maybe the night before, if you like writing lists, make a list of things that you really want to personally achieve the next day. But you know, if you're jumping up, the alarm's gone off, you're rushing, you haven't even had a shower, you haven't had a shave, or you haven't had a wash, you haven't got out into your kilt, the whole day's going to be out of balance. So just try and slow it down, try and bring it back to right here, right now. Finally, a question, and again, we'll probably wrap up really soon, but just a final point, and I've started to explore a little bit on a tool for me, but meditation. It's a big word. There's lots of hype going on out there. But is that something you've ever looked at or embraced, or is it just the kind of status quo for you on that?
No, I do meditate quite a lot. It's part of my process of thought. Just quickly, I don't pretend to be an expert in this, but there are really two broad types of meditation. One is a relaxing process of clearing the mind. Tibetan term is shamatha meditation, which is peaceful and enjoyable and does rest the mind. And there's a value in that. Buddhism is not so much about that as it is about reflective meditation, thinking about an issue and directing the meditation towards that issue. First you have to relax the mind, and then you can, in fact, go more deeply into some aspect of life or some aspect of yourself. So I think both are important to me, and the second one's actually quite difficult to do. But I think there's a variety of ways in which people can spend some time reflecting. I would just advise that just relaxing is all very pleasant. But in terms of trying to improve yourself, trying to be better, you need to have time that is not simply relaxing but is also reflective.
And that could be reflecting on anything in life.
Absolutely.
Good
whatever
or bad.
It might be.
I'm looking at, say, it's called a headspace, that where you allow the confusion, the noise to come on, you just embrace it and it goes away. But it's just controlling the mind to all the noise that we sometimes put ourselves or expose ourselves to. Look, thank you for today. I think we'll wrap up. It's nearly been an hour, and I can't believe how quickly that's gone. But I'll be sure to get the show notes up or links and things onto my website, ralphcareers.co.nz, and maybe a bit of a bio on Rob if you're interested in what Rob's done in his career and where he's at right now. I think that would be really useful. Thanks very much to our show sponsor, RJB Design, today. Get yourself down to 20 Custom Street in Britomart. See Ronald and Natasha, and there's a fantastic offer for you if you go in and mention the Nick Rowe podcast. So thank you very much for that. Finally, also, can I ask a personal favour? If you like what you hear, can you just share this around your friends, your work colleagues, your family? It's a free community, and everybody's welcome here. Finally, Rob, good talking to you today. Thank you so very much for being my guest and for being so open on this important topic. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Nick, and I really like the way you interact with your clients and the wider community. I think it can only be valuable for all concerned. So well done.
Thank you, and enjoy the Rioja. So I wish you and your family a wonderful start to 2018 and fantastic business success and pleasures in the future. Thanks, everyone, for listening in today. Wherever you are in the world, take care, look after yourself and those you care about. See you all soon on the Nick Rowe podcast.